This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Ari Shapiro. It's been a month and a half since some 1,500 U.S. Marines attacked a Taliban stronghold in southern Afghanistan. The area is known as the Garmsir District. One Marine calls it the opium capital of the world. The Marines captured the district after heavy fighting, and now the Americans are trying to win the confidence of the locals while staying on the lookout for suicide bombers and roadside bombs. NPR's Ivan Watson embedded with the Marines and sent this report.
It's 4 in the afternoon. Temperatures are soaring above 130 degrees Fahrenheit when a shot rings out from one of the guard posts protecting Alpha Company's mud-walled compound.
All right, where's he at? Did you hit him? You just throw one shot.
20-year-old Lance Corporal Clayton Blunt has just fired a warning shot at an Afghan man on a passing motorcycle.
All right, what's he doing right now?
He got off the bike.
All right, is he looking at you?
He's got his hands up in the air. I don't see any bars or nothing.
The 1-6 Marines are on alert after receiving reports that two suicide bombers on motorbikes have crossed the nearby border with Pakistan and are now looking for targets. This incident ends without bloodshed.
Tell him he don't need to ride his motorcycle near the post or near this building. If he's going to be coming by the post on a motorcycle, he needs to...
But Marines like Corporal Eric Garris are still tense.
We've gone 2 weeks now without hearing a gunshot. And that's scarier than hearing gunshots every day. Because now that just means that they're hiding better or they're gone. You never know.
Garris's commander, Captain Sean Dynan, notes that the Taliban virtually ruled Garmsir District for the past 2 years.
This region is near the Pakistani border. It's in the breadbasket of Afghanistan, the Helmand province, right along the Helmand River. So they use this area to cultivate their poppy in order to provide funds off the drug trade. And they also use this area to flow in forces up to the northern part of Afghanistan.
After 30 days of nonstop fighting with the Taliban, Dynan's company of Marines are now scattered across the district, occupying crude mud-brick farmhouses and living side by side with Afghan villagers and, they believe, enemy insurgents.
Do you think the Taliban's watching you right now?
I think they're watching you right now. So absolutely, yes.
These guys out here.
Yeah, I think there's some in the area. I think there's some actually in that cafe right over there watching us.
Despite the constant threat of attack, the Marines are trying to win the hearts and minds of the civilian population here.
Salam.
Until recently, Sergeant James Blake was part of a mortar team, lobbing scores of shells at Taliban targets.
It says here that basically your whole building was destroyed in a 2,000-pound bomb. What kind of stuff? Was there blankets and pillows and stuff destroyed inside the building?
Now Blake is part of a team that's trying to compensate hundreds of residents whose homes were destroyed or damaged in the fighting.
So, sir, for all the damage that were caused to your home, in order to help you rebuild and get your trees and everything back, what we can offer you in payment is 243,000 Afghanis.
Blake instructs this Afghan man to return for his payment of some $4,800 on July 1st. So far, the Marines have pledged to pay close to $150,000 to help 80 Afghan families rebuild their homes.
You're pretty confident that money's going to come through on July 1st?
I really hope so. Obviously, that's way above me, but I really hope so. I think if it doesn't come, there might be a riot.
But the locals haven't exactly embraced their new American neighbors.
One, two, three.
A group of Afghan men sits in the shade and watches as several Marines struggle to pull a Humvee out of a patch of deep sand. They should leave this village, says a gray-bearded farmer named Abdul Samad. We can't even walk out of our houses anymore. If we step out the door, he adds, they shoot at us. Part of the problem is that almost everybody in Garmsir relies on the illegal opium industry to make a living.
We're on foot patrol with Marines, with a platoon of Marines, walking through a field of waist-high poppy plants. The next field over is full of marijuana bushes.
Dealing with the poppy isn't really our job. As far as poppy fields that farmers have grown, we don't mess with them.
Every day, Lieutenant Jack Treptow leads patrols through what he describes as the opium capital of the world.
a lot of the people in this area, they have nothing or next to nothing. For some of them, their entire livelihood is based off of the poppy crop any given year. Throughout most of the year,
many Afghan farmers here worry that the Marines will bring an end to their cash crop. To avoid alienating the locals, the Marines have been forced to make some difficult concessions. One day, the Afghan landlord, who's renting his house out to Captain Dinan's company, shows up and spends half an hour digging up three trunks that were buried under a woodpile. The trunks contained soccer ball-sized chunks of opium and processed heroin, a year's worth of work that the landlord was permitted to take away. The Marines say the Afghan government is responsible for enforcing the ban on growing poppy. But in the weeks since the fighting stopped here, neither the government nor the Afghan security forces have established a presence in Garmsir. During our week-long stay with the Marines, Garmsir's police chief, Gulay Khan, showed up just once for a brief meeting with First Lieutenant Micah Steinfad.
Our intel tells us that there are still a number of Taliban in the area, and we're very excited to get you guys down here. Just started getting those guys out.
For right now, I'm very busy and I don't have that much soldiers and stuff.
For the moment, at least, the Marines appear to be on their own in Garmsir.
Hey, sir. Don't pop this door.
On foot patrol, Lieutenant Jack Treptow's platoon kicks open doors and searches empty houses. Meanwhile, Lieutenant Treptow tries to make friends with the locals.
And again, if he needs anything at all, my name is Lieutenant Jack.
We knew ahead of time that we would have to focus on the locals, that we're only as good as our interaction with the local populace.
Captain Dinan, the commander of Alpha Company, says the next few weeks in Garmsir will be critical to the counterinsurgency campaign.
It's very fresh. The people don't know really what to expect from us, so there's really a very big honeymoon period occurring right now.
That ended on June 14th.
We're approaching the hottest part of the day, and we're traveling in a convoy, moving at under 20 miles an hour down dirt roads with choking dust in the air. There are about eight Marines in this truck, this open truck, with two blindfolded prisoners. Yesterday, a similar convoy was hit by a roadside bomb. It injured three Marines, and the wreckage of the Humvee that was destroyed is being hauled in this convoy. As a Marine captain here put it, after 2 weeks without contact with the insurgents, the honeymoon is now over.
Ivan Watson, NPR News, Garmsir, Afghanistan.
Tomorrow, a conversation with an American woman who dared to start a cooperative business in southern Afghanistan.
We make soap. We're a soap factory in a shooting gallery, I like to say. We buy raw materials from farmers, agricultural products like almonds, like apricot kernels, pomegranate seeds.
Sarah Chase tells us how the shooting around Kandahar has disrupted business tomorrow.